Okay, and we're back. I hope you guys have been at least enjoying some of the podcasts. Hopefully, pretty soon I'll have some people on. They can give their stories and stuff like that with my commentary. You guys know I work better when I play off somebody else anyway. That's just how it's always been. But one of the things that came to my attention, and it was only because I was thinking about it because I was listening to another podcast on here. If you guys listen to Legendary Listens, it's my friend Sean's podcast. They were talking about the Manitoba Screwjob, which was the 1997 Survivor Series, and it made me think, what wrestlers have been diagnosed with cancer? There's not that many. Jim Duggan, there is a couple of smaller names. Zack Ryder was diagnosed when he was in high school. But the one that stands out, and I forgot all about it, but it happened earlier, like last year, was Roman Reigns. If you guys don't know who Roman Reigns was, he was part of a group called The Shield that disbanded, and was Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. They disbanded, and they had all these different things. He wasn't really the most popular wrestler. He was a pretty big guy. He's also somehow related to The Rock, which I'm pretty sure like half of the wrestlers in today's wrestling are somehow related to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Not sure how, but he actually had to give up his WWE title earlier this year because he was diagnosed with cancer. Sucks. I mean, especially when you look like Roman Reigns and the reason that you have to leave is for something that isn't even, you know, an on-the-job thing, like Daniel Bryan breaking his neck. No, Roman Reigns, you know, gets cancer. You know, short little Daniel Bryan, who probably, you know, could trip and break his neck, gets, you know, has a more manly excuse for having to leave and give up his title than Roman Reigns, who's a 6'5", like 300-pound dude. It's really weird when you think about it. Cancer is really weird when you think about it. And it just made me think about it, like, you know, everything that you have to give up when you find out that you have cancer, or other things. I forgot who else had cancer. I know Jim Duggan, Zack Ryder, Roman Reigns. Let's see. Oh, and let's not forget about Bret the Hitman Hart. Also has cancer. So, which I should have started with, because the what brought to mind was the Manitoba Screwjob. And you guys can hear all about what happened on that on Sean's podcast. Like I said, it's called Legendary Listens. It's right here on Anchor. You can listen to it anytime. Cancer can be one of the things that just stops everything and puts it all in slow motion. And I don't want to seem like that guy, but right now, I am. I wish I could come up with something funny or clever to say, but I guess I can't. Let me switch gears a little bit. I'll try to switch gears, but I really don't have much else to say on the matter. Hopefully I'll get some interviews in soon. And it doesn't matter if you're famous or if you're, you know, some dude off the street. If you want to talk about how cancer has affected your life, just, you know, message me on either our Facebook or on Anchor. If you don't want the message to be put on the podcast, just start off with, hey, please don't put this on the podcast, but I'd like to talk. And let's talk about it. Let's get in front of everything. Make it so it's not so scary. You know, give your 2 cents. But you just gotta let me know. You can, you know, private message me on our Facebook page. I think it's, just search This Podcast Has Cancer on the Facebook page. And I think I'm gonna go for right now. And let everybody, you know, take in what they have to take in, because pretty sure nurse is going to be in here in a little bit to change over my heparin drip. You guys, be classy. Just remember, intolerance does not beat intolerance. Only tolerance can do that. Love each other. And yeah, have a good one. Hey guys, welcome to a new episode of This Podcast Has Cancer. I know I haven't been on in a while. Thought I'd give you guys updates on what's going on. New treatment is going very well. I know I don't sound it right now. It's part of the treatment is sometimes my voice goes. I just need water sometimes, maybe a lozenge. Some things, like I can't get all my meds right now for some reason. I've got to call up and try to get my Verubi, which is a nausea medicine, and it really, really helps. But, so far I've just been taking, my Compazine and my Dex, which is it's a certain med that, it helps with the nausea. Like, with the nausea medication, it's like a steroid that helps beef up the nausea medication, so any nausea that I have is usually combated by that. not really much else has been going on. I've been doing my pool exercises, trying to work up muscle mass. Trying to get to work by June 1st is my deadline that I'm trying to get to work by. So if I can get to work by June 1st, I should be good. Should be golden. Not going to try for anything really stressful at first. You know, 20 hours, like 5 hours a day, 4 days a week, something like that. I'm trying really hard. And yeah, that's basically what's been going on in this little 2-minute segment that I've got going right now. Let's see, last time we talked, I think we saw Endgame, and I gave a full spoiler review, Kevin Smith type spoiler review of that. Let's see, what else has happened? World War Z has been getting on my nerves. I know I've been talking about that, because World War Z, they haven't fixed anything. You still get placed on other teams when you're in a party. You know, you still get, for some reason, the other teams get slight more advantages. I'm not sure if it's a perk of something. I don't know. But it seems like a lot of the time when we're playing, the other team, for some reason, gets their points faster or gets to the point faster, or they get their packages, they get spawned right next to their packages that they dropped. It doesn't work right. I don't know what's going on with it. Last night, I just kept on getting kicked out of games for no reason before they even started. So, there's that. I didn't get to see all of Money in the Bank, which was actually last night. I know I've got some wrestling fans that listen. I stopped watching in the middle of the Rollins-AJ Styles match because AJ Styles, to me, is the most boring wrestler in the freaking world. I don't know. Seth Rollins is really good, but AJ Styles just, I feel like he is a technical wrestler, but he's not really a technical wrestler. He just goes by the book. And that's boring to me. He seems to be more predictable than any other wrestler that they have on the roster. I like the Becky Lynch matches were pretty good. I still think that she should have won against Charlotte, but whatever. But now, I don't remember who grabbed the title from Charlotte, but so that was a cool thing because they grabbed it was the women's Money in the Bank match that she won the title and then got the actually won the match against Charlotte for the title. So, and I can't remember her name and it starts with a B. But whatever. As you can see, I'm just getting back into wrestling. I don't remember everybody's name. There were some pretty good matches, though, that I saw. I'm going to watch the rest later on today. I saw Detective Pikachu as well. And I really liked it. I think what I'm going to do is I'll give you my non-spoiler review right now. And then we'll take a break. And I'll come back with the spoilerific review like we did last time. So, non-spoilers, it was a B-movie. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. But it wasn't as good as it could have been either. The effects are beautiful. The acting is, you know, top-notch. But the story writing was a little, how do we turn this video game into a story? So, there's a lot of elements to it that work, but don't really work. It was very predictable. So, I mean, it's a B-plus movie. I'm not saying it's not, like, a good movie or anything like that. So, definitely a B-plus. But there are some story elements that are just so predictable that you'll understand them. Or you'll actually, like, guess them within the first, I want to say, 20 minutes of the film. It's a good film. It's definitely a good film to take your kids to, because they're not going to get the adult humor. Though they might get some of the swearing, because there is a little bit of swearing, which is kind of weird. But, it's a really, it's a good family film, I should say. It's one of the ones that should spawn a sequel, but probably won't, unfortunately. And while we're doing that, I'm catching my own Pokemon, Jesse Chew. Get to hold on to my little kitten, Jesse. Before I go, when we take a break, let me tell you a little story about Jesse yesterday. See, yesterday, I went to feed the kittens lunch. And all the cats get the same thing for lunch. But, because Jesse was so tiny, and we were afraid that Bubba and Ollie would steal her food, we would put her food up on the bed. Because if it was on the floor, Ollie and Bubba would think that it's fair game and that they could go for it and Jesse would be out food. So we would put it on the bed And that just became habit of putting her food on the bed. Well, yesterday I was feeding them lunch, and we decided to try to feed them all a little bit of wet food, because Ollie has to be on wet food because of his diabetes. We don't want him to get diabetes, so we want him to be on just wet food so he gets the caloric intake without too much eating. He likes snacks and stuff at night, so we try to cut that by giving him more caloric intake for breakfast and dinner, I guess. Not sure how it works. Kylie knows what's going on. I might be just talking out my ass. But, so I just gave him, I gave him all wet food, like I was instructed to do by Kylie. And to minimize cleanup, just in case things got messy, I put Jesse's food on the ground. And Jesse decided that, she wouldn't be fed like a peasant. And would not come off the bed and squeaked at me until I put her food on the bed. Apparently I am I'm just a peasant to this cat. And she is a real princess who needs her food on the bed or she will not eat it. Luckily she ate everything and didn't actually get really messy, so the bed sheets are clean. Which is good. But, alright, I think this is about the time to take a break. And I'll be right back with a spoilery review of, Detective Pikachu. Alright, and we're back. Here's the spoilerific review of Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Like I said, you know, spoilers, I'm just going to basically give you a whole grasp of the movie. So the movie starts out, we see a mountainous region, and zoom in on a really weird, like, scientific-y place. Which turns out to be PCL Labs, they say. I'm not sure what PCL stands for. They never say what it stands for at all. So you go in and there's an electric explosion and Mewtwo escapes. Mewtwo says they're free and starts chasing a car. And a car crash that can only happen in the movies because a fake creature causes it, happens, and that's how we are introduced to pretty much the plot of the story. And, you know, where we're going from there. Next, we meet Tim and his friend Jack. Jack is played by the guy who plays Dopinder in Deadpool, which, you know, he gets a lot of work lately. He's in that show, Miracle Workers. He's been in a lot of stuff. So they try to catch Tim, who is the main character, played by Justice Smith, a Pokemon, Cubone. Doesn't work out too well. Whatever. They get back to, City, and Tim has a whole bunch of voicemails from the Rhyme City Police Department saying that his dad has been in an accident. So, they do that. Tim takes a train. It's apparently the same train from Zootopia. It's the exposition train, which tells us all we need to know about Rhyme City and its malevolent dictator, the person who put Rhyme City together, Howard Clifford, played by Bill Nighy. And if you know Bill Nighy, you automatically know he's a bad guy unless he's playing a museum curator. And if you get that reference, email me and I'll send you something. Just give me your address. It's not going to be anything big, but just you know, edwardtjobbert@gmail.com, and I'll send you something saying I got that reference and explain the reference. But, yeah, so we get to hear all about Rhyme City from the exposition train. And then we get there and, you know, see the Pokemon walking with the people. And Tim finally gets to Commander Yoshida's office, where he talks to, you know, we get a little bit more about what happened to his dad. Finally, he gets the keys to his dad's apartment, and we meet our secondary character, who, now I can't remember her name for some reason. But she's a reporter, and she tries to get the story by hanging outside of Tim's dad's apartment, waiting for someone to, you know, come and clean up the apartment. And she finds Tim. From there, you know, Tim finds a couple of clues inside his dad's apartment without realizing it. Opens up a vial of something called R that makes Apom chase him. Kind of like in the video game, I've heard. Pikachu comes around, saves him, or at least, you know, helps him escape. And, that's where they find out that Pikachu was Tim's dad's partner. And, unfortunately, I have to take another short break because all of a sudden I have to poop. So, I'll be right back. Alright, sorry about that. Just one of the weird things with cancer. When you have to go, you have to go. but as I was saying, find out that the Pikachu is Tim's dad's Pikachu partner, who was helping him on a case. But he has amnesia. He doesn't know why Tim can hear him and nobody else can. And that's basically where the story really opens. I forgot to say that the girl works for CNM, which is their news network in Rhyme City. She's an unpaid intern, but she thinks she's got a story. So next, it's the next day. Pikachu thinks he's finding clues because he smelled the R on the Apom that attacked him. So they're connected. And he has strings and paper all over the floor. And Tim finds a piece of paper talking about a parade that's going to happen pretty soon between Pokemon and, you know, humanity to spark their years of, you know, partnership. So he goes to CNM because that's where the girl was and that's his only lead, is that paper that talks about the parade. Brings the vial because thinks that she might know something, and she does. She knows a lot. Find out that Pikachu can talk to other Pokemon through that because he talks to a Psyduck. And the Pokemon don't really give a lot of information at all. You think they would, but they don't. They get a lead to go to the docks. And they do. They meet the Mr. Mime, and we get that whole big Mr. Mime scene, which is actually one of the funniest scenes in the movie. And it's extended, so you get to see the whole entire thing. It's not just, like, the shove-it part, but the whole thing is actually a really, really funny scene. From that, they get another lead for this Pokemon fighting dojo that shouldn't exist in Rhyme City because there are no trainers in Rhyme City. No Pokemon battles are supposed to happen in Rhyme City, so this whole dojo is illegal. Find out that somebody named the Doctor is supplying the R to basically people in the dojo to make their Pokemon more bloodthirsty. That's where we also get our fight between Pikachu and Charizard. And you get your first notice of Pikachu not being able to use his powers at all. Which is alright. I mean, he has amnesia, right? But, you kind of get where it's going with Pikachu by this point. And why he can't use his powers and stuff like that. So, next they get arrested. They meet up with Captain Yoshida again, who shows Tim a tape of his dad dying, basically. Of the car going off. Not really. They didn't find the body or anything. Tim's trying to tell him that he feels it, that his dad's still alive. Because how could the Pikachu survive and his dad not? So there's that. And he storms off. They get a clue again from the mysterious newspaper lady, and I can't remember her name, and I don't know why, and it blows my mind that I can't remember her name. But, so she, tells them about PCL and how they had this, accident and they had to close it down. So they decide, like good boys and girls, that they're going to investigate and go down to PCL. And all sorts of shit, you know, happens. Greninja that are bad Greninja chase them around. They see that for some reason, Tim's dad actually caught the Mewtwo, and they think it's revenge on him that Harry, the dad, is missing. And Mewtwo has him. So he goes through this whole thing. And, at one point he meets Howard Clifford. Forgot to tell you that part. Howard Clifford confirms that Mewtwo, for whatever reason, took Harry. And, through these really weird holographic images that they have in the lab as well. So it should be another clue. Excuse me. So you have all these weird things happening, in the lab. The Greninja get out. They have to run through a Torterra garden, and, the Torterras are being experimented on to make them bigger. So they get to a part of the garden where the Torterra are the size of fucking mountains. Like, it's amazing. Pikachu, in trying to survive and everything, gets hurt, and they need to find a healing Pokemon to help him. And for some reason, the only Pokemon other than Torterra in this garden are Bulbasaur and Morlul. If you know what a Morlul is, you are definitely a better Pokemon trainer than I am. I had no freaking clue about Morlul. Apparently, I think they're from Sinnoh. So, people who are really into 4th generation Pokemon really know them. I apparently dropped off at some point, and don't even care about Morlul or its evolution. Doesn't show up in the movie, but they all help and lead Tim to bring Pikachu to Mewtwo, and somehow Roger Clifford, Howard Clifford's son, is able to track them and catch Mewtwo before Mewtwo can reveal everything that happened. So Pikachu thinks that he was responsible for all of the bad stuff that happened, that he betrayed Tim's dad and he was going to betray Tim. So that forces them to split. They go they go their separate ways. Tim goes to talk to Howard because it isn't clear by now that Howard's the bad guy, even though his technology is the same technology they're using in the lab. They had this neural implant thing that you didn't have to get up to use because Howard's in a wheelchair. So, yeah. Whole bunch of, you know, points right there that if you can't predict exactly what's going on, you're probably not too incisive. Sorry to tell you, but if you didn't predict that Howard was the bad guy, you don't know movies. Not as well as I do, apparently. Also, throughout the movie, they show clips of Harry, but it's only from the back, so you never get to see his face. If you can't figure out who plays Harry by the end of the movie, same thing. But, so they go, Tim goes to talk to Harry about what his son has done. Pikachu finds the bridge and finds Greninja stars, realizing that Greninja are the ones that made the car flip over the bridge. And Greninjas were responsible. Mewtwo was saving them. And it goes from there. Pikachu somehow doesn't use a car but gets all the way back to town just in time for the plan, the evil person's plan to go through. So you have Clifford, old Clifford, not Roger, Howard Clifford, who has the neural link and is able to neural link up to Mewtwo and basically turn himself into Mewtwo as long as they're both wearing the neural links. Mewtwo apparently has the power also of porting everyone's every human body into a Pokemon body and making people into Pokemon, which I don't remember that in any part of, you know, Kanto lore, but, you know, maybe, you never know. Speaking of Kanto, I forgot about that, in PCL, when they're looking at some of the clips from the holographic images, they talk about how Mewtwo escaped over 20 years ago from the Kanto region. And I don't know if they talk about the last known whereabouts being Celadon City, but that would be pretty cool if they did. So, you go through this, this whole thing where Tim is up there and you find out that Roger has been not taken over, but a Ditto has been impersonating Roger and a whole bunch of other people, and there's a big fight scene between the Ditto and Tim. Roger is in the closet, all tied up and bound and gagged. While Mewtwo, Howard, is out causing a whole bunch of chaos because he saw Batman and decided to put the gas, all the Argas, inside the parade balloons, like a certain Joker. What are you gonna do? So, fight scene. Finally, Pikachu distracts Mewtwo long enough that he's able to let Tim take off the neural link on Howard's head. Which I don't know how that works since the Ditto was the one distracting Tim, not the Mewtwo, but whatever. They take off the neural link. Mewtwo's able to fix everything. Everybody goes back to normal and with new respect for their Pokemon, blah blah blah. And that you find out that basically, Mewtwo had put Harry's body inside Pikachu the entire time. The reason that they could link up with, like, that he could talk to Tim was because Tim was his son. And they were, you know, that's how they were able to converse, but they didn't know any better because during the process, Pikachu had to have amnesia. He couldn't remember anything. So, that happens. They save Harry, and Harry turns out to be da-da-da-dum, Ryan Reynolds. Because, you know, that's the way it is. I don't know, like, and that's pretty much the end of the movie. That's, Tim decides to stay a little bit with his dad, thinks about becoming a detective, and that's the end of the movie. It's, a, you know, it's a pretty cute movie. Like I said, B+ rating. It's, a, you know, it's a one bring your kids to, and the little kids won't get anything. They'll just, you know, sit there and talk about how cool the Pokemon look. The older kids might get some of the references. Adults will get all of the references. Except for probably the one I'm asking you if you understand. Because I made up that reference. But, yeah. All in all, it's a good movie. I recommend it. Go out and see it. And I think that's going to be the end for today. You guys, you know, have a good day, have a good time, love each other, and remember, intolerance can't defeat intolerance, only tolerance can.